The FAA will plunge ahead with Northeast airspace redesign. Rockland County's chief executive goes to court to stop it. And the search for Steve Fawcett expands. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, September 7th, 2007. The Federal Aviation Administration announced on Wednesday it's issued a final decision for redesigning the New York, New Jersey, and Philadelphia metropolitan area airspace. FAA Administrator Marion C. Blakey says the move will reduce delays, fuel consumption, aircraft emissions, and noise. Quote, "This new concept in airspace design will help us handle the rapidly growing number of flights in the Northeast in a much more efficient way. This airspace was first designed in the 1960s and has become much more complex. We now need to look at creative new ways to avoid delays," unquote. The formal record of decision for the airspace redesign study supports the FAA's preferred alternative, but many NIMBYs do not. After an environmental impact assessment that included more than 120 public meetings in five states, millions of potential litigants remain unhappy. About 29 million people live in the 31,000-square-mile area under the proposed changes. The agency believes its ducks are in a row and appears ready for opponents to bring it on. The FAA says its studies show this alternative will reduce delays, complexity of the current air traffic system, fuel consumption, and carbon emissions, and aircraft noise. 500,000 fewer people will be exposed to noise under this alternative, the agency claims, compared to making no change. New York's Rockland County Executive C. Scott Vanderhoof said Thursday the county is going to file a lawsuit against the FAA over its decision to redesign that airspace. The Journal News is reporting Vanderhoof has said the county believes the chosen plan violates the National Environmental Policy Act. Quote, "This particular agency is one that apparently is hell-bent on doing what it needs to do to get this plan in order, and therefore is ignoring the law. We're going to hold them to the law, and that's what this litigation is about," unquote. According to the plan, about 11,000 Rockland residents will be subjected to increased noise levels as 300 to 400 flights per day would fly over at 6,000 to 9,000 feet. The search for Steve Fawcett in the Nevada desert has grown from 600 square miles to 10,000 as more aircraft, horseback riders, and people in off-road vehicles have joined the search for the billionaire adventurer who's been missing since Monday morning. Nevada State Police spokesman Chuck Allen told the AFP News Service that a boat equipped with sonar will even search the lake near the Flying M Ranch, the last place Fawcett was seen as he took off in his Belanca Super Decathlon. Civil Air Patrol's Major Cynthia Ryan told reporters she's still hopeful, citing another case in which a missing pilot was found after a three-day search in his plane upside down hanging in his harness in a tree. Quote, "Barring some sort of catastrophic landing, this is entirely survivable. You have a man out there who has all the skills necessary," unquote. Aero News will have the latest on our website as the search continues at aero-news.net. Numbers of travelers are rising while the number of available airline seats holds steady or declines. This phenomenon is allowing airlines to fly with fewer empty seats, promising improved corporate earnings. The Dallas Morning News reports that load factors for most major airlines, expressed as a percentage of seats filled, while not as high as June and July, has set a record for the month of August. The paper reports American and Southwest both reported the highest August percentages ever. American said Wednesday it filled 85% of its seats with paying passengers in August. That's up from 82% last year. The airline reported traffic down 0.4%, but total seat miles down over 3%, raising its load factor. Southwest said it hit 80% last month. That's also up almost 3% from last year. But Southwest did it by growing passenger miles by 12.1% from a year ago. AirTran reported in at 84.3%, Continental at 85.9%, and United at 86.3%. Those are all new August records. Up next on ANN, a Japanese communications satellite enters granite orbit. Designers unveil stunning drawings of Spaceport America. And Dubai Aerospace officially pulls the plug on its Auckland deal. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 7th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Skilled PR writers might say, a Japanese communications satellite reached orbit Thursday, but unfortunately, its perigee intersected the surface of the Earth. The rest of us would say a Russian booster malfunctioned shortly after liftoff Thursday and crashed in Kazakhstan, destroying its JCSAT payload. The Canadian press reported there were no human injuries when the Proton M rocket failed 139 seconds after launch, then fell from 243,000 feet into an uninhabited area about 30 miles southwest of Zhezhkazgan. Roscosmos spokesman Alexander Vorobyov says further launches from the Baikonur Cosmodrome are on hold until the cause of the failure is determined. The delay may impact scheduled launches in November and December. The JCSAT-11 was assembled by Lockheed Martin for use by Japan's JSAT Corporation. The heavy-lift Proton-M, considered the backbone of Russia's space program, was manufactured by Khrunichev. The initial artist renderings are in for New Mexico's Spaceport America, and they are breathtaking in a very sci-fi kind of way. The hangar and terminal facility totals 100,000 square feet, is designed as a huge round building which blends with the desert backdrop, and incorporates many novel environmental features. Solar-powered and designed with minimal embodied carbon and few additional energy requirements, the low-lying form is dug into the landscape to exploit thermal mass, which buffers the building from the extremes of the New Mexico climate, as well as catching the predominantly westerly winds for ventilation. A rolling concrete shell acts as the roof, with massive windows opening to views of the runway and spacecraft. Construction is expected to begin as soon as the FAA can issue the site operator's license to the New Mexico Spaceport Authority. The facility is being designed by a U.S.-British consortium of URS Corporation and Foster & Partners. It will cost $31 million to build and become home to the Spaceport Authority and Virgin Galactic, as well as a tourist destination. Construction could be complete as soon as late 2009. Auckland International Airport Limited and Dubai Aerospace Enterprise Limited announced on Thursday that the consultation process required under their merger implementation agreement has been completed, and both parties have decided to walk away. The joint statement said, quote, "In light of recent developments, DAE regrets that notwithstanding the best efforts of the board of AIAL, the transaction could not proceed in the form proposed," unquote. Those aforementioned recent developments apparently include Air New Zealand's request for a judicial review of new landing charges imposed on airlines flying from Auckland in an apparent breach of the contract. Each side says no further comment will be made on that issue. The airport encouraged DAE's bid in the beginning, saying it would help the airport grow, but opinion polls indicated New Zealanders overwhelmingly opposed a foreign company owning controlling shares. James Lindsay of Tyndall Investment Management Limited in Auckland says Dubai Aerospace might yet return. Quote, "Their guys have done a lot of work. I would absolutely not strike them out yet," unquote. Three U.S. travelers have engaged a Seattle law firm, Hagens, Berman, Sobel, Shapiro, to file a lawsuit against British Airways in U.S. District Court in Seattle. The firm contends the airline has been knowingly reckless in its baggage handling and therefore should not enjoy the protection of the Montreal Convention's $1,500 liability limit. The Seattle Times reports that Donald and Joan Smith of Tacoma, Washington, are among the plaintiffs. The law firm says BA finally returned their luggage, wet and destroyed, Weeks after their flight to Italy, the third plaintiff, Aiden Casarilli of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, lost her luggage on a British Airways flight to Madrid, Spain. If the court approves the case as a class action suit, it could involve thousands of U.S. travelers with similar complaints. British Airways currently has the worst record of any major European airline for lost luggage. Industry figures say BA loses about 24 bags out of every 1,000. That's about 3 times the rate of U.S. airlines, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. Still ahead, a California woman gets a horrifying introduction to aviation. The NTSB wants FAA to get after a problem with Boeing windshield heaters. And NASA finds some really tough germs in its clean rooms. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, September 7th, 2007. I'm Paul Plagg. 43-year-old Jinhua Lin was going for her first airplane ride Saturday, and it would be fair to say that aviation made a lousy first impression. The Modesto B reports she endured what was anything but a relaxing day trip. Her companion, 57-year-old pilot William Supan, had to make an emergency landing at Modesto, California, when smoke began trailing from under the cowl. The paper quotes a lineman who witnessed the scene as having heard Supan blame it on an exhaust clamp and leave to get a new one at Walmart. On his second takeoff, the smoke was reportedly pouring from the plane, and Supan landed immediately. He replaced a hose, but is said to have dismissed pleas from the fire crews to have his airplane checked by a mechanic before attempting to fly it again. And so, shortly after his third takeoff, a witness says the 1959 Piper Tri-Pacer was coming in fast, wings wobbling, and bounced 9 times after a hard landing. Lin jumped from the smoking plane, suffering road rash and a broken leg. After Supan got the plane stopped and started running toward Lin, witnesses told the paper the plane torched. The interior and fabric covering were completely destroyed. So at least the investigators who arrived on Sunday had an easy time inspecting the mechanicals. FAA and National Transportation Safety Board are both involved now. Noting the pilot's decision-making demonstration, do-it-yourself repairs, and Walmart hose clamp, FAA spokesman Ian Greger told the Bee, quote, "We're going to have a long talk with Mr. Supan," unquote. The NTSB has issued a report on electrical fires which have occurred near the windshields of Boeing 757s. The board found that 2 different planes, one an American Airlines jet, the other with Air Greenland, had similar fires in January 2004, which were traced to cross-threaded screws holding the power wire to the windshield heater terminal block. The FAA started working on a service bulletin for operators of Boeing 747, 57, 67, and 77 airliners back in 2004, calling for installation of a redesigned terminal block on affected planes, but never finished it. The NTSB has recommended the FAA get the bulletin done, then issue airworthiness directives to plane owners to get the upgraded blocks installed. The cross-threaded screw in the terminal block creates a poor connection, which can cause arcing and overheating of the connection area. No injuries have been reported. The clean rooms used by NASA to assemble spacecraft aren't so clean after all. Nature magazine reports samples taken from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Kennedy Space Center, and Johnson Space Center show some pretty hardy bacteria that have managed to not only survive cleaning with harsh cleansers and ultraviolet light, but actually thrive. Researchers at JPL in Pasadena found the 3 sites hosted very different bacterial communities. They discovered strains in the spore-forming Bacillus family that had never been seen before, and other bacteria called extremophiles, such as Methylobacterium, which is resistant to high levels of chlorine. Researchers have cataloged the bacteria so they can compare them against anything brought back on space missions, so they can answer any questions about whether extraterrestrial bacteria has been encountered. It's not just bugs from outer space invading Earth which are a concern. There are strict international regulations designed to prevent Earthlings from taking our bugs into space as well. And if you have OCD, I apologize for sharing that story. Finally, Southwest Airlines, which bragged in the 1970s about its female flight attendants in hot pants, is now being criticized for being too puritanical about passenger fashion. Wednesday's San Diego Union-Tribune reports a young woman was asked to leave a flight a couple of months ago at Lindbergh Field for wearing a denim miniskirt, high-heeled sandals, and a summer sweater over a tank top. Kyla Ebert asked the offended flight attendant which part of her outfit was offensive and says she was told, quote, "the whole thing," unquote. She was eventually allowed to remain on the flight, provided she kept a blanket over her lap. The airline's reaction was inconsistent. Southwest reportedly backed its flight attendant with a letter, despite telling the paper that bikini tops and other much more revealing clothing would have been allowable. Kyla is a 23-year-old college student and a Hooters waitress. Her mother, Michelle Ebert, says, quote, "My daughter is young, tall, blonde, and beautiful. She dresses provocatively, as do 99% of 23-year-old girls who can. She is both envied and complimented on her appearance," unquote. Envy. Could that be it? Could it be the flight attendant was envious? Was Kyla distracting all the male passengers? Maybe we should ask him. How about it, Keith? Was it just a jealous moment? And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today we'll hear from four people who stand to lose if general aviation user fees are enacted. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You can find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.